can handle the truth.
Happy Friday! You survived another week, folks. We're going full speed ahead now into June. Unbelievable. Both calendar-wise and weather-wise. Today, record temperatures are being set all over New England. We're going to be into the mid, maybe even late 90s. Probably right about now. They said around noontime. So, I wouldn't know, of course, because I'm battened it down here in my air-conditioned room. I think I'll stay in here till tonight sometime after sundown. Then it'll be a little more comfortable. Oh, I went out this morning for a bike ride and got a bite to eat, and it was already unbearable. It was unbelievable. Not bad in the shade, but you step out in that sun, and woof, man, it's going to be a humid one this summer if this is a foretaste of what we're headed for. Anyway, I have to mention this. Hot news item yesterday. Excuse me. I don't know if you guys caught this, but while giving a press conference in the Rose Garden yesterday outside the White House, Emperor Gluteus Maximus had a sparrow relieve himself on his shoulder, or on his sleeve, I guess, on his arm there. and what was most interesting about it is just after that, he was talking about Gonzales and how he's going to keep Gonzales. He's happy with how Gonzales has been working. And all of a sudden, you hear the bird really, really loud. It had to be the same bird. Chirping away to beat the band so loud you couldn't even hardly hear what Gluteus Maximus was saying. And I swear, it sounded like the bird was just busting a gasket laughing. It was great. It was a classic moment. Just Google it. It's all over the internet. It was a hot item last night. Everybody was buzzing about it. Bush gets the turd of the bird. I think that bird should be awarded a medal. Is there any way we can find that bird? He deserves our utmost respect, a salute. I think he should be on the next postage stamp issuing. That was classic. What can I tell you? I appreciated that. I found that too. See, even the birds are getting fed up with this guy. I think the bird was actually aiming for his head. I was a little off on the aim. Hopefully next press conference will do a little better. But nevertheless, very impressive. Congratulations, Mr. Sparrow. That laugh, I'm telling you, it's a laugh. You got to hear the thing. You got to listen to the video. Watch it and listen to it. That bird is laughing, I swear. I certainly was, anyway. Anyways, folks, let's launch into a couple quick announcements. Then we'll have a quick break, and we'll be back with our guest today, Walter Burian, expert on 9/11 inside trading. A lot of the phony fiasco profiteering off of that crisis. And, of course, he's also going to be talking about CAFR, or CAFR, something very interesting. You don't want to miss that. Anyway, just a reminder, once again, we're offering the DVD, Freedom to Fascism, Aaron Russo's landmark production, exposing the crime syndicate that is running and has been running our government for a long time now, going back at least to 1913, arguably even before that, but their control kicked into high gear in 1913 with the establishment of the Federal Reserve Act. He talks about the graduating income tax. Also that same year, we had the 16th Amendment introduced. Interesting how both of those came at the same time because they work hand in hand. You can't have one without the other. The fake banking system with the fake monetary system, along with the fake income tax, enables them to pick our pockets and fund their global conquest scheme that they've been involved in for decades on end now. So a great DVD to expose this whole plan for world domination, how they've done it, what they're up to, and what they're going to continue to be doing if people don't wake up. At 1995, call 800-724-2719 or go to republicbroadcasting.org. Stick with us, folks. We'll be right back. We'll be right back.
Sit back, relax, and enjoy a vacation to the beautiful Ozark Mountains. Howard Creek Resort is nestled conveniently between the cities of Bull Shoals and Mountain Home on Bull Shoals Lake in the natural state of Arkansas. Howard Creek Resort offers easy access to excellent fishing and water recreation of all types. The excitement of nearby Branson music shows and Silver Dollar City is accented perfectly by the many attractions located here in the heart of the Ozarks. Horseback riding, water skiing, scuba diving, hiking, caves, and rock climbing are just a few of the many activities that are available to do in our area. Howard Creek Resorts offers it all. Whether you're staying for the weekend or for a month, Howard Creek Resorts is the place to be, an excellent place to stay, and a valued traditional family vacation resort. Visit our website at www.howardcreek.com or call 1-877-253-7690. Come visit us for a lifetime of memories.
Are you paying exorbitant amounts of interest to your mortgage lender? We as Americans have been led down a path of paying excessive amounts of interest to the lending institutions. Stop paying tens of thousands of dollars in mortgage interest and start saving. Our financial experts have spent 2 years and about $2 million on a revolutionary interest reduction solution that will show you how to pay off 100% of your mortgage and other debt in as little as 8 to 11 years with no change to your current lifestyle or spending habits, no increase to your monthly mortgage payments, no refinancing, and no out-of-pocket expense. That's right. Take 19 to 22 years off your 30-year mortgage. This is not a bi-weekly payment program or a debt roll-down program. It's much more. Sound too good to be true? Find out just how good. Visit interestreductionsolutions.com or call 1-800-281-5094. That's 1-800-281-5094. Ask about our free DVD and financial analysis report.
There is one and only one national populist news weekly, staffed by an unsurpassed team of veteran investigative journalists who have dared to rip the veil of deception from the cover-up stories promoted by the big money-controlled media monopoly.
American Free Press.
AFP's no-holds-barred journalists fearlessly seek the truth, no matter how controversial the issue. AFP publishes exciting, in-depth, uncensored news and information good patriotic Americans need to know to combat the coming police state being clamped in our republic. The American Free Press is your voice. Subscribe today and catch up on the real news. Mention RBN when you call and receive a one-year subscription, plus a copy of Michael Collins Piper's latest bestseller, The High Priests of War. All that for just $49? Call AFP toll-free, 888-699-NEWS, or visit American...
All right, guys, on the line here on radio, the host Charlie Giuliani. And before I introduce our guest, I just want to remind you I'm offering my my two books, well, actually several books, but my two books, Piercing the Fog of 9/11 and The New World Disorder, fully documented, tons of references in the back. Hundreds of pages, 8.5 by 11, large format. It's just loaded, jam-packed with information. The best sources, the best quotes, the best resources I could muster, researching these two subjects for years on end. So you can get those now at a much reduced price at lulu.com. That's L-U-L-U.com. You can find them just by searching my name on there, Charles Giuliani, spelt like, like the New York former mayor. No relation. G-I-U-L-I-A-N-I. Just search my name, Charles Giuliani, or just search for Piercing the Fog of 9/11 and or The New World Disorder. And you'll see some other titles I got available. And in the coming weeks, months, I'll be adding more as time goes on. All right. And once again, the website, truthhurts.com, H-E-R-T-Z. The email, comments, questions, suggestions, positive or negative, can send that to me at truthhurtsradio@aol.com. And again, that's H-E-R-T-Z, If you got ideas for guests or topics you want to have covered on the show, drop me an email. All right, guys, with no further ado, let's introduce our guest here for the next almost 2 hours. We have Walter Burian, expert on 9/11 insider trading and other financial fiascos that have taken place in the wake of 9/11. In fact, before 9/11 and continuing thereafter, profiteering from this crisis. The rest of the nation was in mourning while the neocons are rubbing their hands, all excited as they profit financially and politically off of this crisis. So welcome to the show, Walter.
Hello, Mr. Giuliani.
Yeah, pleasure to have you on.
Hopefully people are not going to be voting for Rudy Giuliani because of name recognition.
I've been saying I hope he doesn't ruin my family name, but at the same time, I hope I don't give his family name a good name.
Exactly.
Good heavens.
Where would you like to start off today?
Well, I eventually want to discuss this CAFR thing. I must admit, it's not something I'm too familiar with. But before we even do that, let's discuss the profiteering that was going on, not just after 9/11. We know a lot of it was done then, but, leading up to 9/11, there was a lot of foreknowledge, of course, all kinds of foreknowledge of these coming attacks, not just in the financial realm. But we know a lot of politicians, the mayor of San Francisco, Willie Brown, was told, turns out, by Condoleezza herself, personal friend of his, not to fly on 9/11. We know that Salman Rushdie was told by the FAA not to fly on 9/11. They said, something's out there. Ashcroft cancels his flights with commercial airliners, decides to fly with private government jets beginning mid-August 2001, a month before the attacks. But in addition to all that and a lot of other things, there was this insider trading going on, wasn't there?
Yes, and let me start with a little background information and some first-hand information as it applies to 9/11 and the World Trade Center.
Sure.
First of all, I was a commodity trading advisor, CTA, back 1978 through 92. But 1978 was a tenant at the World Trade Center, number one World Trade Center. From 78 to 80. And as a tenant, the other tenants we talked, the only concern we had, period, about the World Trade Center was a truck being driven into the parking deck loaded with explosives or a hijacked passenger plane being flown into the towers. Back in 79, end of 78, Port Authority circulated a flyer to all of the tenants saying not to be concerned about any truck being driven into the parking deck loaded with explosives. The security cameras were there. No truck was to be left unattended. Well, that happened in 93.
Walter, you said we. Pardon my ignorance. I didn't realize you worked at the World Trade Center?
Yes, I was a tenant, number one World Trade Center. We had started off a company with a partner. It was called Gabriel Brookridge.
Wow.
We were at 2119,
One World Trade Center. When you say first-hand experience, you're not kidding.
Right. And in fact, I used to love to go up to the market bar on One World Trade Center with the windows on the world. They had a little market bar with a piano player, and I'd always go up there after a good day of trading and order a nice double scotch, Chivas, or Glenlivet, and tip the piano bar player $10 to play my favorite tune. That was the tune from The Godfather.
I might have actually talked to you before. Did you ever hear of a company called International Business Communications?
I think so.
Yeah, I might have talked. I used to call the World Trade Center all the time, and your name looks familiar. I think I might have talked to you years ago.
I did a national news line coast to coast on a one of the market data systems. It was called Radio Data Systems Market Monitor, and I focused basically on silver. Back during those days, if I came out with a buy recommendation, silver usually popped by about 25, 30 cents, and if I came out with a sell recommendation, it dropped by about 25, 30 cents. But you may have also have picked up my name from there.
Yeah, but possibly.
Going back to the situation, as I mentioned, hijacked passenger planes on the flyer. Port Authority said, well, don't be concerned there. It's a no-fly zone for no commercial traffic, non-commercial traffic. All commercial traffic's on a pre-designated flight path. There's 46 some odd tracking stations, military, commercial, private. And we have all the pre-designated flight paths downloaded to us from the airlines when the planes take off. If they go off course, don't respond, you know, bing, 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 red flag goes up. We dispatch an F-15 to intercept, and they brag their response time was down to 4 minutes and 20 seconds from getting an alert to getting an air, a plane in the air. Okay, now keep in mind, this is back in 1978. Between 1976 to 2001, they probably flew thousands of, you know, practice sorties, test sorties, responses to actual genuine threats. I had a friend from Iowa, you know, who was working up in New York at the time. He brought his family out. He went up in the Citizen Citation II and decided to take a flight by the trade centers where he worked. He got too close, and all of a sudden, he got buzzed by an F-15. They told him to back off, and he was a little slow in backing off, and they buzzed right over his nose saying, back off, they're going to blow him the hell out of the sky. You know, so he did a quick turn. Mm. So here we have an exemplary record going back to 1975. Thousands of test sorties, practice sorties, response sorties run to any threat in the air, and practicing for any threat in the air. Well, guess what the one day was that they didn't launch an intercept, not from just one threat in the air, but four? This is a real hard question. What do you think?
9/11.
When I saw that, I said, if you ask any airline pilot that flies in and out of New York, he'll tell you this was total garbage. And, you know, it was an impossibility for them not to launch unless they were told to stand down or something was done to make sure that no one launched for an intercept.
This is very interesting. Is this information on your website? Or
I put out a few email posts regarding that information. If you do a search for Walter Burian in quotes and put in 9/11, you'll get the different articles I put out popping up on Google.
But you don't have a website? Say.
Yeah, I have a website too, but I don't know if I put up any pages specifically regarding that. I know I put out the email post to my national list.
Well, you know, it's interesting. It's interesting that you mentioned that. Sorry. No, I was just going to say because there was an Army soldier that had come out recently, a couple years ago, and he said that back in 1976 that they were running drills involving this very nature of an attack on the trade towers.
Yeah, I know. I'm saying this is, you know, the I'm confirming that 100% from first-hand information. You know, I was not here.
Right.
You know, I was living there at that time.
Wow.
The, when I saw Condoleezza Rice, you know, a day or so after the attack, up on the stage saying, "If we had only had known they would use planes as a weapon," she is lucky I was not standing next to her.
So disgusting.
You know, I would not have been able to hold back the punch.
Bush picks them well, doesn't he?
Yeah, well, I'm just wondering how many steroid pills she takes a day. But the other points were that night, as I mentioned, I trade the markets, and I was trading bonds. I was living in Arizona. And usually I go to sleep 1:30, latest 2:30 in the morning. That night, I could not go to sleep. And come 4:30, 5 o'clock in the morning, I'm still up, and I had a gut-wrenching feeling. I was feeling there was something bothering me, and then at 5:45, you know, let's keep in mind this Arizona time, 3 hours behind, all of a sudden I see bonds jump up a point and a half, down a point and a half, up a point and a half. I'm like, what the hell? And, you know, I said, this can't be correct, and I looked at the front page of AOL and showed Tower 1 burning. And I walked over to my VCR, put it on, and channel on CNN, and started taping for the rest of the day. Well, I noticed right off the bang, anyone wearing turbans, anyone, you know, whatever, in the crowd, the cameras were all focusing in on these people, you know, that looked Middle Eastern. Okay, they mentioned bin Laden's name 20 minutes into it. No one else's. And
very suspicious.
They're following a script here.
Right.
And
it looked very familiar, didn't it? I'll tell you what, hold that thought. We've got to take a break, folks. We'll be right back with Walter Burian. Very interesting stuff.
Catholic priest calls for Christians to resist unjust war. It is an established historical fact that the Vatican has publicly stated that the Iraqi war is an unjust war. However, it miserably failed to tell its Catholic soldiers that it is a mortal sin to attack Iraq. The Protestant ministers in unison should take the logical step of telling their soldiers that it is a serious offense against God to participate in this unjust war. However, if enough Protestant ministers do not take this logical step, then the lay Catholics and Protestants have a serious obligation to demand of their clergy to take this logical step publicly. Personally, I am doing all that I can to stop the continuation of the murder, carnage, and suffering that is being committed against the innocent people of Iraq in this terrible, unjust war. For additional facts regarding this grave matter, order the lecture by Father John Martinez entitled WW3 Can Still Be Prevented. Just go to www.republicbroadcasting.org and click on our web banner for more information and ordering.
I found this company online, and they had this really unique variety of salt wellness products. I read some of the articles and ended up ordering this beautiful salt lamp. According to the company, they said that the salt crystal lamps gently purify indoor air. I was so amazed. I put it in the baby's room, and it made a perfect nightlight. Both my husband and I could tell the difference.
SoleWellness.com is a unique company that offers salt wellness products from around the world.
So, I went back to the site and ordered their Soleil Simple Natural Cleaning Products, also made with Himalayan salt. I figured it would clean really well. The natural cleaning products worked wonderfully, and there was no scent. This company has so many products my whole family can enjoy and feel better with. Plus, the service was great.
If you're interested in natural, homeopathic, time-tested remedies, visit SoleilWellness.com. That's S-O-L-A-Y Wellness.com. Or call 312-224-2710. 312-224-2710.
Attention gardeners! If you've ever wanted to grow the absolute best tasting fruits and vegetables imaginable, well, here's exciting news. There's a new product called ProtoGrow, and it's dynamite in the garden. ProtoGrow is a bioactive superfood for plants. It works by providing true broad spectrum nutrition, allowing plants to achieve their full genetic expression. So what does this mean in the garden? It means mouth-watering fruits and vegetables, brilliantly colored flowers, herbs that finally grow to medicinal strength, blue ribbon garden produce jam-packed with bioavailable minerals and trace elements, giant pumpkins, even high-potency Hybrix wheatgrass. ProtoGrow is a proprietary blend of full-spectrum nutrients from the sea. It literally contains the basic building blocks of life itself. In fact, ProtoGrow is so effective at producing rapid plant growth in record time that it almost forces plants to grow even under the worst light and soil conditions. To grow tasty fruits and vegetables right now, go to growlikecrazy.com or call 877-327-0365.
Condoleezza said they had no idea an attack of this nature was in the works. Yeah, they only had 300,527 million forewarnings, not to mention drills involving this very same type of scenario. Before the break, Walter, you were talking about, you were watching this on TV and you recorded the news for the rest of the day. You were obviously at home then, right? You weren't actually at work that morning?
I was in Arizona.
Oh, okay. Fortunately, you
weren't. Keep in mind, I worked there in 78 to 80.
What floor was your office on?
21st floor.
You could very well have been trapped in there.
It was 1921 or 2119. It was one of the two.
Wow.
It was 1921 or 2119 was our office suite number. But I was in One World Trade Center, and I was below the impact, and we would have gotten out of the towers pretty quickly. The thing that really caught my attention was when the first tower got hit and everyone started leaving the second tower, when they came over the PA system telling people
right.
to return.
Sit still, yeah.
That is not normal operating procedure. When they have an event going on like that, they would have evacuated both towers until it was totally cleared.
Of course. It's unbelievable. I wonder how many people lost their lives because of that little fiasco.
Probably another 800 or so lost their lives because they told them to go back up in Tower 2. I mean, I guarantee you the smarter, longer-term tenants didn't listen to that, and because the majority would have said, I think we'll stay off the higher floors, even though there's thing go back up for a while.
It's never emerged who was responsible for that, has it?
Well, keep in mind, well, I heard one of the commercials before, and I heard them mention regarding Iraq, this unjust war. And I don't call it an unjust war. I call it a war for profit.
Yeah.
And it's just it's not just in Iraq. Keep in mind, when 9/11 occurred, always follow the money. Now, keep in mind Silverstein, who bought the lease on the World Trade Center. Back in 1978-79, the World Trade Center, Port Authority was trying to sell the World Trade Center. They couldn't get
it. Wasn't making much money, was it?
Yeah, and they also had a big problem. When they built it, they coated all the inside walls with asbestos.
Asbestos, right.
And then asbestos became, contraband, and all buildings were supposed to upgrade and take out the asbestos and so forth, especially on the World Trade Center. They looked at how much it would cost to do that, big problem. And then they also had another inherent flaw. The World Trade Centers, have flat surfaces. And the surface of the World Trade Center, picture like 50 football fields or 70 football fields catching wind. Now, they were built to withstand, 120, 125 mile an hour gusts. Okay? Without a problem.
Right.
But, if a hurricane ever made it up the East Coast with sustained 120 mile an hour winds, guess what was going down? The World Trade Center towers. They could withstand gusts of 125, 135 miles an hour, but they could not sustain. They could not stand up against sustained winds of 125 miles an hour.
Hmm.
So they knew it was not a matter of if, but it was a matter of when. If any storm such as that nature ever managed to hit Manhattan, they had a big problem.
And it's happened.
With those flat surfaces catching the wind like that, you're talking millions and millions and millions of metric tons of force. And they would have gone over. So they had a big problem. So up steps Larry Silverstein. Okay, well-connected real estate developer.
By the way, not to interrupt, but I'm just curious. Were you there in, what was it, 1975 when the North Tower had a fire?
No, I was in the earliest I moved into Manhattan was the end of 77.
Okay, so that was a little after that then.
Yeah, I worked for a little company called, right before then, I was working as a Xerox tech rep out of New Jersey, the Princeton branch, and I heard a radio ad saying, make $30,000 to $100,000 a year, we'll train, no experience required. Caught my attention, I drove up to Manhattan, and there was a company called Chartered Systems Corporation. Frank Genovese was the owner, and he had about 400 or 500 people working for him. And they were selling high-priced options. I didn't know there were high-priced options at the time, but I said, I'll give this a try. And first 3 to 4 months, I wasn't selling any options of any consequence. I think I sold one. But I was monitoring the markets, and I started calling, which market people should be getting into, what the highs would be, the lows, and that was extremely accurate. The vice president of the firm caught that, and he started listening in on my phone. Whatever I pitched my clients on, he would pitch the entire firm to switch to. One of the other guys at the firm, Roy Spiegel, he was an accountant, and he goes, hey, Wally, let's start our own trading account. We'll generate the money and start our own company. We were kind of broke at the time, had about $600 liquid cash apiece, and I opened up an account with Rosenthal. $1,200, took it up to $52,000 in about 5 weeks, and we took out $35,000, started Gabriel Brokerage, and got our office. First four clients were other brokers, $10,000 apiece. And I don't know how hard, other brokers for them to give you the money, that's like mission impossible, banging down my door, will you trade my account, will you trade my account? Generated 100% profit in the first month and 100% commissions in the first month on the four accounts.
Wow.
So it was a good start. Then my partner, Roy, was doing a few things I did not like, which used to sell tax bills to attorneys and accountants, where they would give him $5,000-$6,000, clear it, offshore, and then he'd return cash to him. I said, Roy, cut that out.
Tell you what,
hold
that thought. We got to take another short break. Stick with us, folks. We'll be right back with Walter Burian.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network because you can handle the truth.
There is one and only one national populist news weekly, staffed by an unsurpassed team of veteran investigative journalists who have dared to rip the veil of deception from the cover-up stories promoted by the big money-controlled media monopoly.
American Free Press.
AFP's no-holds-barred journalists fearlessly seek the truth, no matter how controversial the issue. AFP publishes exciting, in-depth, uncensored news and information good patriotic Americans need to know to combat the coming police state being clamped in our republic. The American Free Press is your voice. Subscribe today and catch up on the real news. Mention RBN when you call and receive a one-year subscription, plus a copy of Michael Collins Piper's latest bestseller, The High Priests of War. All that for just $49? Call AFP toll-free, 888-699-NEWS, or visit AmericanFreePress.net.
It's true. Gold and silver have been a source of true wealth for years. In fact, people around the world have used these metals to buy and sell goods for over 5,000 years. And gold and silver will continue to be a source of true wealth for the foreseeable future. If you look back in history, you'll see that all fiat currencies have failed to maintain wealth or failed altogether. But gold has always protected its holder, a true asset, usable to anyone around the globe. As the value of your Federal Reserve note continues to depreciate, gold will be your only insurance. As an example, in 1975, you could buy a $40,000 home with 1,000 gold coins. Today, that same house is $400,000, yet you can still buy it with 1,000 gold coins. To find out more information on how to protect your wealth, call Republic Trading at 1-800-691-7898. That's 1-800-691-7898.
Hi, Steve Shank, Fearless Task Force. Sure, you've got a mortgage and credit cards. Your debt creation is probably the smartest thing you've ever done. How would it be to find $75,000, $150,000, $200,000 or more you never knew you had? Now the task force has strategies to make these debts into virtual savings accounts. Ben Franklin said, "A penny saved is a penny earned." By doing nothing more than you're doing right now, because you've used your credit, the right strategies can make the debt part of your financial life the smartest thing you've ever done. Oh, by the way, your strategies cost you nothing out of pocket. Go ahead and check out the debt elimination scams if you'd like to. You wouldn't take money from a loan shark, so you may not want to give your money to a debt shark. For an understanding of what a financial genius you truly are, call 800-409-5633. On the web, mydebtfreepath.com. 800-409-5633.
Welcome back to Truth Hurts, folks. This is your host, Charlie Giuliani. We've got Walter Burian as our guest today. Before the break, Walter, you were talking about some former questionable business partners.
Well, the partner, he was doing a few things I didn't like. He used to be an accountant, and then he used to generate money for himself by having a offshore checking account. And he would sell a tax pitch to doctors and lawyers and so forth. I'll give you an advisory bill for $6,500. I'll clear it on the offshore corporation and give you back, $5,000. And, he'd pocket $1,500, and they were using it, they were in the 50% tax bracket at that time, so they'd be using it as a tax advantage. That was totally illegal, and I told Roy, we're doing the futures business now. We have a firm. You either cut that out, or I don't want to be partners with you. He goes, "No, I'm going to keep on doing it." And I said, "Okay, see ya." I gave him the company for a dollar and walked, and I just went independent. He went on to getting about $65 million under management, and then when silver had topped out, he got caught long on a bunch when it collapsed down in 2 weeks by about $40, and lost all of his equity and got about 440 reparations, and he can't practice in trade futures in the United States anymore.
Wow.
I think he's over in the UK. But the bottom line was, on 9/11, the... as I mentioned, they were focusing in on anyone wearing a turban. I did catch the sequence where they had the UK reporter, with her back to the screen saying, "And World Trade Center number 7 just collapsed," 5 minutes before it did.
Yeah, wasn't that interesting?
Yeah. Now the
and it's still it's standing right behind her too at that.
Yeah, but she wasn't looking at the screen.
Yeah,
no, she was following her script.
Right.
I watched Bush, the sequences of Bush, you know, addressing the, I think it was a second grade class about a book on goats.
Yeah.
And here he is, and the goat was walking down the path. Mr. Bush, a plane just flew into Tower 1 and it's burning. And the goat continued down the trail. And a little bit later, Mr. Bush, a second plane just flew into Tower 2 and I think we're under attack. And the goat returned home. Now, I don't care, you know, any CEO of any company, if they were addressing a trade association, whatever, okay, and they saw and heard this was going on, any one of the CEOs would have looked around that was addressing the entire crowd saying, there's an emergency taking place in our country right now. We can handle this at a later date. Let's call quits here and we'll start up again later.
You know what the answer to that is?
They would have broke. No. No. Well, let me finish here, okay?
Yeah.
I have been requesting, I put out an email post and published it several times, requesting somebody who does internet videos to do a what-if video, where they show a two-minute sequence of, you know, President Bush being told about Tower 1, Tower 2, exactly what happened. Then the one-if version, the what-if version for 2 minutes, shows the exact same. But this time the Secret Service agent walks up to him and said, President Bush, two planes tried to crash into the World Trade Center tower, but we shot them down before they did. He jumps up and he goes, what? There's an emergency. I got to leave. If somebody puts up that what-if video, you're going to see the hit counter burn off the scale from the ISPs on views.
Well, an even bigger mystery is not only why he didn't jump up. And by the way, the ridiculous excuse for that is, well, he didn't want to alarm the children. Oh, give me a break. Wouldn't you rather alarm children, first of all, than risk their lives? But anyway...
If he was a Sunday school teacher, I can see that being valid. Being the President of the United States, totally inappropriate. And any if you asked 100 psychologists or psychiatrists to view the video and asked their interpretation of whether he had advanced knowledge, they would all say, yeah, he had advanced knowledge, and he's justifying his alibi by sitting there.
Well, we know he knew before he left the hotel. John Cochran was traveling with him that morning, and when he came out of the hotel, they had a brief press conference, and he said that somebody asked him, did you hear what happened in New York? And he said, yeah, I'll have something to say about it later. So he knew before he even got to the school. He lied across the board about what he knew and when he knew it.
Yeah, well, the bottom line, it all comes down to money. Before the World Trade Center got hit, I was noticing, I trade the markets, and I'm following the short, because I always follow the short derivatives that the institutional funds are holding. And institutional funds are government investment funds. And about 6 months before, they had a very heavy short position. 5 months before, they're increasing their short position. 2 months before, they had the largest short position I ever saw them holding. I mean, the percentage of short derivatives was massive internationally by the composite government investment funds. And I said, something big is about to happen here. You know, they're expecting, I was, you know, saying the stock market's going to have to, probably going to collapse 50% in value based on this, you know, their position playing. When 9/11 occurred, you know who the number one profiteer was on 9/11? You know, in the press, they published this thing about some put option on the airline, $5 million not claimed. These must be the people behind 9/11. $5 million is chump change on chump change on chump change. The short derivative positions that government was holding, within 10 days, easily would have picked out about $2.5 trillion. Hmm. And they took a loss on their physical holdings, but their short derivative positions made a killing. And this is on the international markets. They were short the domestic and international markets and the currency exchanges and the whole nine yards. So here 9/11 occurs. They make a phenomenal killing on the short derivative positions. Congress immediately moves $50 billion. You know, appropriated for handling the situation. And let's see if people have short-term memories or not. Do you remember back in 2000, the results of Al Gore's audit of the federal government came out? And you hear on the network news, the federal government has a $5 trillion surplus. You remember that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And said something and announced $5 trillion. Then... Then 4 years later, after Bush comes out saying, we have a $3 trillion deficit. I'll see how you're on basic math. $5 trillion surplus, $3 trillion. That means $8 trillion.
$8 trillion.
Changed hands in 4 years.
Mm-hmm.
Iraq. We first go into Afghanistan. You know, the Taliban had boycotted all of the heroin and poppy fields. You know, and they were destroying them. Poppy production was down to almost zero in Afghanistan.
You know, Iraq now is having a big opium business over there.
I wonder why.
Yeah, interesting.
It's money and games. You know, they looted Iraq. You know, they had you know, even some soldiers were caught trying to fly home with a couple $100,000.
Did you know what our deficit was for last year alone? A deficit last year, $4.6 trillion, just for last year.
Yeah, well, do you know how much? $4.6 trillion is not really that much. To us, it is. I'll give you a bottom line of gross income of government, federal and local. Okay? I have this up on my website. It's right up there on the front page. I was looking at the 1999 Federal Consolidated Financial Statement, which is for 98.
Mm-hmm.
And it showed total personal income of the entire United States. This is all workers' investment income, the whole nine yards, was $8.2 trillion for the year. So that was the gross income of the population, $8.2 trillion. It showed federal taxation at $1.8 trillion, okay, which most people were aware of. The local government, it didn't list, but I looked at the comprehensive annual financial reports of local government to factor out the composite income on taxation from local government. I came up with about $1.6 trillion, and that gave government gross income, local and federal, $3.4 trillion in tax income. Now, I had been telling people for years that government's gross income, only one-third was tax income. Two-thirds of government's income now is return on investment funds and enterprise and venture projects. And I said, oh, my God, what is the gross income? It took me about 4 months looking at that to come up with a figure. And I came up with about $5.1 trillion. So here they have $3.4 trillion in tax income, $5.1 trillion in non-tax income. That gave government gross income for the year of $8.5 trillion.
It's pretty gross, isn't it?
Yeah, and if you look at the population, you know, they had 8.2 net after taxation, because you know, take that $3.4 trillion net, you know, to, off the top to get net after taxation. I gave the population of this country $4.8 trillion net after taxation. So government was grossing almost twice that of the entire population's net after taxation.
Hey, what's the net worth of ExxonMobil these days?
Nah, I haven't looked at that specifically, but again, up on the front of my page, you'll see a link, which I put up one CAFR for people to look at, which shows the investment holdings. It's a New York State Retirement Fund CAFR. And there's a link right there to download the listing of investments. And you'll notice that the big profit makers, 300-400%, the war industry groups, the oil companies, the pharmaceuticals, the banks, like conflict of interest, me says. You know,
and look at all the legislation Bush is passing to favor the interests of these companies. It's unbelievable.
Well, when you say the interests of these companies, I'm going to make something very clear right now, and this is a very, very important factor. When I looked at the stock ownership of these companies, they're all 70, 65, 80% owned by composite government funds. The private sector ownership of the Fortune 500 companies now is insignificant compared to government ownership. Now, there's 84,000-plus individual annual financial reports completed by government. Cities, every city is a separate corporation, county is a separate corporation, state's a separate corporation. Each with their own financial reports, each with their own assets, each with their own investments. The composite totals of their investments, they've taken over the marketplace. They've taken over the insurance industry. They've taken
monopoly.
Over the loan industry. It's a 100% monopoly. And I put a little notation up on my website. Did you ever wonder why Gorbachev went Democratic? He looked at what the boys in the United States were doing and said, hell, they have more control than we do, and they're making 10 times as much. We wrote the better blueprint for communism. In Russia, the state said, we are the state. We own everything. We will take care of you. In the United States, government now owns everything by investment through well-masked veils of corporate ownership. And, you know, they have the chipmunk running on the treadmill chasing the carrot as they're tapping off 85% of the energy produced.
It's pure fascism, isn't it?
Fascism with an underlying communist structure.
And, now, we got a caller that just came in from, I'm going to take him in a second. I just wanted to ask you, obviously these very companies are the ones that are funding Bush's, you know, campaign, slipping him money, contributions to the table here and there, left and right, you know, to the, GOP.
You have to understand why. Government owns these companies and they funnel the directives back to the CEOs. You're going to do this or else.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. But do you know, are they, you know, do the Bush administration officials also have investments in these companies as well? Do you know?
I've never looked at individuals. So I've never looked at Bush or Carter.
I would not be surprised.
You know, it's pretty clear regarding Halliburton and a few of the other companies they've been profiting.
Well, that's obvious, yeah.
But you got to follow the money. And I've told people over and over again, it's not the Joe Sixpack crowd betting $5 on who's going to win the football game, Dallas. You know, these are some of the sharpest crackers on the face of the planet. They have unlimited resources, and they can hire the best psychologists, best marketing strategists, the public has a nice huge chance in hell.
Even if you couldn't trace them directly, they could probably be funneling money investments through other names, false names or friends or whatever that are doing it on their behalf, and they're splitting. Yeah, so this you couldn't trace that so easily.
I've given an example probably 100 times regarding, because everyone says, well, who's taking the money on the comprehensive annual financial report and da-da-da, and where's all the money being held? And I said, you know, it's not one account. There's thousands of different funding accounts.
Right.
All different issues, all different arenas. You know, they've been creating whatever they can create or think of to funnel off money. And the key point is, where is that money invested? That's where the power lies. And
yeah.
Say, for example, you and I are congressmen or senators or county board of supervisors or two city attorneys. And we want to build a condominium complex, and we need $45 million to do it. We approach one of the fund managers, self-insurance fund manager, a bond repayment fund manager, a pension fund manager within the government. And we said, we need $45 million. You know, you're a good buddy. Can you lend it to us? And he goes, well, you're going to have to prepare a prospectus, cover point A to Z, and you have to offer the correct rate of return we're accepting right now, which, by the way, is 2.44%. And, in fact, here's three prospectuses we approved last year along the same lines of what you're doing, so it gives us the blueprint. We draft our prospectus, and we go out and incorporate. We want to build our condominium complex in Sydney, Australia, on the beach. We go out and incorporate a company called New Zealand Coastal Properties, Inc., a New Zealand corporation. We list our two accountants as the CEO and treasurer for the corporation. We have a private agreement with them under the table. They now get their $45 million loan, build the condominium complex. We offer 2.45%, and we now generate $8, $9 million on our project a year, and we pay back the fund $4 million. So we've assured our Millionaire Boys Retirement Club, project, you know, on the beach in Sydney, Australia. The deals like that are cut 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year.
Yeah.
Some big, some small. And the higher you go up in the corruption, I mean, I've seen them move billions of dollars over to like Kenya for an African Development Dam project. Sink $11 billion into it, and then they default on the bond payment, 9 months later. The IMF would end up stepping in to pick up the tab. You know, deals like that, a few billion dollars change hands.
And of course, the IMF is no less a reputable institution than anything domestically.
The bottom line is, if you know, the what they did, you know, because we didn't cover this point, everyone sees a budget report, budget report, budget report. Budget reports were taxation. Is utilized, and it's basically cost items. In 1946, they switched over to the annual financial report accounting structure, just like any other corporation has, AT&T, IBM, Xerox, whatever. And by doing so, they shifted all profit centers, large investment funds for accountability only under the annual financial report. The selectively created budget report that was being spoon-fed to the population grew into only being one-third of the cash gross receipts. Two-thirds were now disclosed on the annual financial report. And to get a clear-cut example here, say, for example, your listener has a budget for operating his house of $35,000 a year. You know, he applies $35,000. He spends $35,000. If he spends $36,000, he has a $1,000 deficit on his budget. He spends 34, he has a 1,000 surplus on his budget. But if you only looked at his budget report, you'd count for every nickel, dime, and penny, what was spent, you know, what was, you know, allocated. Now, on the annual financial reporting accounting structure, let's use an example of the same thing. Your budget's $35,000, but your salary for the job you're working is $125,000. Okay, you have three other little venture projects on the side which generate $250,000 a year. You've been trading the markets for 20 years, and you've gotten your investment portfolio up to $3.5 million, which also generates you another $350,000 a year. Well, if you only talked about your $35,000 budget, okay.
Yeah, I tell you what, hold that thought. We're going to come right back. And we got David in California waiting on the line. Hold it with us, Dave. We'll take your call as soon as we get back.
In Matthew 24, the disciples asked Jesus, "What shall be the signs of thy coming and the end of the world?" Jesus answered them, "You shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines, diseases, earthquakes in many places. Fellow Americans, we are living in this time of Earth's history. People everywhere are trying to understand these climatic world events in light of human wisdom, but without the wisdom of God, this is impossible. Our ministry would like to offer information on the Mark of the Beast and the Unholy Alliance. It includes four books and several DVDs for your information. It discusses America in prophecy, the Antichrist, tyrants and wars, secret societies, the New World Order, and much more. So to be prepared for what is coming on the world as an overwhelming surprise, call for your free materials, Packet F, 888-211-1715. Again, 888-211-1715.
The ideology powering the Democrats and Republicans is not liberalism or conservatism, but globalism. Globalists are concerned with what's good for big business and the American empire instead of what's fair for the American people. The only antidote to the poison of globalism is nationalism. Start reading the Nationalist Times each month. The Nationalist Times promotes a common sense, intelligent, and passionate alternative to the reigning party line. Published monthly since 1985, the Nationalist Times is a 20-page newspaper featuring outstanding writers and columnists who don't believe in taboos or sacred cows. Be one of the many thousands of loyal readers of the Nationalist Times. Subscribe now to the Nationalist Times. Just $19 for 1 year. That's 50% off the regular price. Send your $19 subscription to the Nationalist Times, P.O. Box 426, Allison Park, PA 15101. That's the Nationalist Times, P.O. Box 426, Allison Park, PA 15101. Or subscribe online at our website, www.anu.org.
People who use Cartivite know about the pollutants in our body and want them out. For over 5 years, Cartivite has proven itself time-tested. Here's Dr. Mattson, a naturopathic doctor's thoughts on Cartivite.
In our mind, there isn't such a great big mystery to disease anymore. This basic tenet of yeast in the gut and metals in the liver covers at least 70-80% of the diseases that we see. When we do our program, you know, herbal formulas like Cartivite, and you see someone who could barely walk up a hill now going for regular jogs. A few months later, we know we're doing something right. It's a well-thought-out formula. I mean, the idea of it working on yeast and metals both at the same time and liver function is dead on. You'll find, I think, that it'll work more than just on heart problems and circulation problems. It'll work on other problems as well.
For more information, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit our Cartivite link at rbnlive.com. That toll-free number again, 1-877-928-8822.
Truth will do just fine. That's what we're bringing out here, folks. Laying it on the line. Yeah, okay, Walter, before the break, you were talking, you want to pick up where you left off, and then I want to go to Dave here in California?
Well, being that you're going to put Dave on, and hopefully you can hear as he's on hold.
Yeah, you can hear.
I just want to bring up one example. If you remember back a year or so ago, California... bought all the power lines from the power companies for 30-some-odd billion dollars. Do you remember that?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, whoever cut that deal should be tarred, feathered, and quartered. Here are the power companies. The only liability they have are their power lines. They can't develop the property. It's a pure liability. Anyone gets hurt, they got to maintain insurance. They got to maintain the land around. Pure liability. Okay. Here, the state of California comes in and buys the power lines, assuming a liability for 30-some-odd billion dollars. The power company should have given that land and that property to the state of California to get rid of the liability.
Right.
Yeah, so, here the public gets suckered, the people from California get suckered for a $30 billion bill on a liability that should have been given to them for free.
I used to, taking
the liability.
In my more naive days, I used to think that this kind of thing went on, in the smaller businesses, but the bigger ones, they're too much in the spotlight. They would never do stuff like this. They're too reputable, and they'd get caught too easily. But no, it seems the higher up the ladder you go, the bigger the company, the more the corruption, the worse it is.
And the bigger the deals. If a street punk will jump up behind you, cut your throat to grab a $500 gold necklace off your throat, think about what a politician will do to cut a $10, $15, $20, $30, $100 million deal.
And they do just that, too.
Yeah, and the public...
They'll cut your throat, folks.
And the public's sitting there being masterfully entertained with their big decision being whether they watch The Simpsons or South Park at night or planning their next SUV trip.
It would be nice
to masterfully entertain the public nonstop each and every day.
It would be nice if the world actually worked the way they portray it for us in the media, the way they want us to think it works, but unfortunately it doesn't. All right, we got Dave from California. Dave, you with us? You got a question or comment for Walter Burian?
Yeah, how are you? I think you probably just pretty much got right to the point on it. The taxpayer is the collateral, and that essentially is what the corporate state is all about. And, of course, if people have forgotten what the corporate state was, that was what Adolf Hitler was pushing with Mussolini. And
a good expression or term for the public is a productivity resource. What they do is productivity resource management.
Yeah, that's one way they do the double talk. And, in fact, I think they, during the 60s, when they still wanted to keep going with this same sort of project, they changed the name of the corporate state to functional representation. And if you look at many dictionaries from the 60s and 70s, you look up functional representation, you'll come up with the corporate state. But I think you're getting right to the point, though, that the taxpayer is the collateral. And one of the catchphrases that Hitler was using, and Mussolini in his treatise on the corporate state, was saying that the citizen's only duty is to the state. And so with all the taxes that we pay in on April 15th, we're not supposed to get anything for it. The only people that get anything from it are the corporations. And this whole idea is that the business is more important than the people. And so using the people as collateral, we're the expendable ones. We're the ones that they have to keep on a tight budget. We're the ones...
Yeah, the masses lose while the few elites gain. Stick with us, folks. We'll be right back.